Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came unto him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence with singing, with praises on our lips, and a right attitude and a right heart. We want to hear from you. We want to know more about you. Lord, we praise you. We ask that you speak to us today. And we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the credit, all the glory, all the praise. And in his wonderful name, amen. Wherever Jesus was, and we studied this last time, when he left, it says two blind men came and began to follow him. And the whole way that he was walking, they said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Now they didn't run up to him. They didn't stop him. They followed. But they didn't stop saying, "Please have mercy on us, Son of David." They knew who he was. They recognized him as the Messiah. They knew that one day he would sit on the throne of Israel, and that one day is coming, I want to remind you. Jesus is coming back to this earth, and you need to be ready for that day. But it says that when he came into the house, wherever he was going to stay that night, the blind man came into the house, said, "Can we see Jesus, what have you?" And Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this, to heal you?" And they said unto him, "Yes, Lord, we believe." And it says that he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. But it says that Jesus straightly charged them, or shook his finger in their face and said, "Look, don't go telling nobody. See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame in all that country. Honestly, these five verses to me sum up the entire book of Matthew. And we studied this in chapter 1, what have you, that he's the Son of David. He's the Messiah. That for 400 and something years, there was not a peep out of any prophet You can read about it in the book of Malachi. It prophesied that John the Baptist would show up and introduce Christ, preach repentance, and make his way plain. And that's in chapter 3. But for 400 and something years, no prophet, no word from God, no nothing. But one day he bursts upon the scene. We know the story. He comes to John and says, "Baptize me," and he was. The Spirit of God came out of heaven, rested upon him, didn't depart from him his whole life. And it says in Acts that he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And it's our job to follow him. It's our job to believe that he is able to do this. Whatever your this is, whatever your trouble is, he's able to do it. In this case, they were blind. Others had an issue of blood for 12 years. Others couldn't walk, sat by a pool for 38 years. Others, their daughter died. You can read again and again and again in this book and other books, the Old Testament, and really all through history, that people looked to Jesus Christ, believed him, and he performed miracles. And he still performs miracles today. But as we look to him, as we acknowledge him, follow him, believe him, he will help us. He will do this for us, whatever that this happens to be. And that's our job, after he's done it, to spread abroad his fame in all that country. Again, it's a snapshot of what Jesus Christ did, is, does, will do, etc., and how he's presented in the book of Matthew in particular, and really the whole Bible. But he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. We should believe God. We should take him at his word and believe him. Now, if your faith is believing for a Cadillac or a Lexus or a 100-fold return, well, you keep sitting on that couch and you keep believing it, but it's not going to happen. But if you go to the Bible and turn that guy on the television off and go to the Bible and read it for yourself and let him stir your faith. Let him show you the right things to believe. Let him show you how to pray, what to pray for, and how to believe. When trouble comes to you, or to your family, or to somebody that you know at work or what have you, you can say, "Hey, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, over here in Luke chapter such and so, this person had that problem, and look what God did." Or, back in 1 Samuel, let's say, this person had this trouble, thought it was the end, but God came through, or Judges, or what have you. All over the Bible, you'll find God's delivering power. And if we trust him, if we believe that he can do this, then he'll come through for us. We need to let him be God. We need to make sure that we don't tell him what to do, but we bring our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them at the feet of Christ. And whatever he wants to do with it, he can do. But let's believe him. According to your faith, be it unto you. But moving on, verse 32. It says, as they went up, I guess the next day or two or three days later, whenever they left, as they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Not that he was not intelligent, but that he was mute. He couldn't speak. But the reason why he couldn't speak was that he was full of the devil. But it says, when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled and said, it was never so seen in Israel. This kind of miracle where there was a man that was perfectly well except the fact that he was full of the devil. And he didn't have the ability to speak. But his tongue was loosed when the devil was cast out. That kind of miracle nobody had ever heard of. It's not recorded anywhere in Scripture. And aside from Scripture, there were stories of things that never got recorded all throughout the time of the Jews that were passed down, what have you. Nobody could remember a story where a man was full of the devil, and when he was delivered, his tongue was loosed. In other words, a great miracle, something novel, something that nobody had ever seen before. But the Pharisees, the religious folk, they said, he casts out devils through the prince of devils. In other words, he gets his power through Satan. This is a religious attack upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus responded, but they continued to do this. And in chapter 12, he pointed his finger and said, you've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 3, I'll read it, verse 22 through 30. And the scribes this time, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils, he casteth out devils. This word Beelzebub, you'll find it in Chronicles. It means Lord of the Flies, and it references Satan. The Pharisees in Matthew chapter 9, in Mark chapter 3, it's the scribes this time. There was another religious bunch, the Sadducees. But they attacked Christ. They criticized him in front of all the people and said that he casts out devils through the power of Satan. And it says he called them unto him, and in parables he said, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom can't stand. If a house divided against itself, the house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but he has an end. But in verse 28, verily or truly I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies whithersoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. You can curse God. You can say that God has a last name and it starts with D. You can curse Jesus Christ. And you know, I did that. Before I became a Christian, I was very good at cursing God. But I stand before you today, forgiven of all the things I said against God, because God is merciful. But, Jesus said, if you say something against the Holy Ghost, if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, if you take something that's obviously a miracle done by the power of the Holy Spirit, and say that instead it's the power of Satan. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said you'll never be forgiven if you do that. Now, it's hard to do that. You have to understand what you're talking about. You have to be specific. And these religious folks were. They were anti-Christ. They were working against him. They were trying to lead people away from following him. And again, they described an obvious miracle, an obvious thing that the Spirit of God did, and said it was demon spirits. Jesus said they were never forgiven. All manner of sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, except don't offend the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, it's simple. God is in heaven, and he's got the Ten Commandments, and we broke all 10. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God hates sin. We're sinners. We badmouth him. We do all kind of things and have evil in our hearts. But God says, well, I understand. Let me send my Son down there to die for you, to take your place, to let the penalty for sin rest upon him. And people that repent, they get to go free. You've got God in heaven. You've got Jesus sent from heaven to bring salvation to us. But he went back to heaven, it says. In Acts chapter 1, for instance, he ascended back into heaven. But we understand that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came from heaven. In John chapter 16, I think it says that the Spirit is another comforter, the Parakletos. And it's his job to help me, the preacher, to help you, the listener. Without the Spirit moving in the heart, you can't come to God. You'll never understand it. You'll never be drawn by his love, his mercy. You can't be saved except the Spirit does the work in your heart. And these religious folk blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit backed off and said, okay, that's fine. Live any way you want. But unless I touch your heart, you can't repent. You won't want to repent. You won't be drawn. You won't have the conviction of the Spirit because, hey, I back off. And this is something that can't be forgiven, but this is something that's very hard to do. You can't commit this unpardonable sin by accident. Some people are afraid that they've done it. If you're afraid that you've committed an unpardonable sin, that's proof that you care about sin. And it's proof that you haven't, so don't worry. But to finish out this chapter, in verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It echoes Matthew chapter 16 and 17, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's what he did every day. He went to this town, to that town. He preached in the synagogues. He preached in the streets. He preached everywhere he could. And he healed every sickness and every disease. Do you believe that I am able to do this? If you believe, that He's able to do it. He can do it for you. Trust Him. Verse 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then He saith unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. This idea of shepherding or pastoring, the word pastor means shepherd, is echoed all throughout the Bible. Numbers chapter 27 and verse 17, and it picks up a passage that goes on, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. It's God's desire that people be shepherded, cared for, fed, led, protected, watched after, etc. That's what Jesus went around doing, filled with compassion. And He calls preachers, Sunday school teachers, soul winners, what have you. He calls people. He puts His Spirit in them, and His compassion, and His love for people that they normally wouldn't care about. And they have this desire to help, to relieve, to make things right. Remember, Jesus said that He came, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why He left heaven. Remember, there's gold that everybody walks on. The walls are of jasper, a precious stone, precious mineral, what have you. There's the river of life. You can read about it in the last chapter or so of Revelation. The water that comes out of God's throne. There are trees on each side of that river, and its leaves are for the healing of nations. God has so much that He wants to do for us. Again, do you believe that I can do this? He asked. If you trust Him, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him.
Only believe, all things are possible.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.